We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So, I didn't write that, in case you were wondering. That, of course, comes from the Declaration of Independence, which we celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence this 4th of July. But as we look at these words from the Declaration of Independence, the first thing that becomes very clear is the United States was not founded as a secular state. There's a lot of people pushing that agenda today, that the United States is a secular nation. It's not. All you have to do is look right back at the Declaration of Independence to see that the very foundation of our nation was the belief in a God who created all human beings with equal dignity. And the source of our rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness come from the God who created us. So at its very core, the United States was founded as a religious nation, not as a secular nation. We were founded upon religious beliefs. That's the very foundation of our system of government. If we look at the rights that we're given, the rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, life is pretty clear. Respect for the sacredness of all human life, from conception to natural death. But I was focusing in particular on the phrase, the pursuit of happiness. So just out of curiosity, I typed it into Google, because nothing on the internet could be wrong, I'm told. So I typed it into Google, and what popped up with pursuit of happiness, I think it was like dictionary.com or something like that. It said that pursuit of happiness means we have a right to anything we want, as long as it doesn't infringe on anyone else's rights. And I thought to myself, well, that sounds like garbage, which it is. But so if we look at what was really meant by the pursuit of happiness, the founding fathers were philosophers. And this concept of the pursuit of happiness, it goes all the way back to ancient Greek philosophy, all the way back to Aristotle. But John Adams summed it up pretty well. He pushed the state of Massachusetts to adopt the Constitution 4 years after the Declaration of Independence was passed. So this was 1780. And he says, or it says in the Massachusetts Constitution, it explains very clearly what pursuit of happiness means. It says, quote, "The happiness of a people and the good order and preservation of civil government essentially depend upon piety, religion, and morality." Piety, religion, and morality are the foundation for pursuit of happiness. So when they talk about pursuit of happiness, they're not talking about some hedonistic view of whatever makes me feel good or whatever I want to do, I get to do. That's not the pursuit of happiness. What they were talking about is what causes a human being to flourish and to attain the happiness that they were created for. Well, in order to attain the happiness we were created for, we have to follow the laws of our Creator. So pursuit of happiness means the freedom to seek out and to live out virtue, to become people who are following religious laws, people who are generous, people who are self-sacrificing, people who are self-disciplined, people who give of themselves, people who are courageous, people who understand and appreciate justice. So pursuit of happiness has its foundation in living out religious beliefs, moral virtue. And so when we look at how this nation was founded, first it was founded upon the religious belief in a Creator, a God who gives us our rights. And second, when we look at what the pursuit of happiness means, it means living out our faith in the world. That's pursuit of happiness. And our founding fathers took it even a step further. They believed that no government has a right to trump divine law. That our Creator is the one who gave us our human rights. And so there are limits to what the government can do. No government has the authority to say, speak any, or to change anything regarding the sacredness of human life, the institution of marriage, religious liberty. These are all laws that are higher than any government authority. And what they say is that if any government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right and the duty of the people to alter or abolish such government. The heart and soul of the United States of America, what makes America great, is the faith and religious devotion of its people. Our nation was founded as a nation based upon freedom to give people not the freedom to do whatever they want, but the freedom to follow God's laws, to live out our God-given vocation, what God has created us for in this world. That's what America is about. Our first reading today comes from the prophet Isaiah. And he says, you who are mourning over Jerusalem, what happened? Well, Jerusalem was built as a religious nation, the people of Israel. They were founded upon religious beliefs, and they betrayed their God. They violated the commandments. They lost sight of why they had been created. And so they were destroyed. The Lord brought them to ruin. The northern part of Israel was wiped out by the Assyrians, the southern part by the Babylonians. The people were slaughtered, their entire nation was destroyed, and they were brought into exile because they lost sight of the purpose for which their country was created, to serve and to honor God. But Isaiah goes on to predict the future restoration of Israel. He predicts an era of peace, happiness, and joy when the people return to their Lord and rediscover the God who blessed them so abundantly. And Isaiah says that prosperity will flow over her like a river, and the Lord's power shall be known to his servants. People will realize that it is by obedience and love of God, by service of God, that they would be blessed, and not by human endeavors alone. And so what Isaiah is trying to teach the people is that the source of joy and happiness is going to come by obedience to God. And in our second reading, St. Paul rejoices in the cross of Jesus Christ, that he is bearing the suffering of Christ. So I think a good question for us to ask as we celebrate Independence Day is, what are we celebrating? What is bringing us joy on this Independence Day? Are we happy and filled with joy simply because of the firecrackers and cookouts? Well, that's not what makes America great. It's not just an extra day off work, as nice as that might be. What makes America great is not our economic power or our military power. And it's certainly not a hedonistic desire to do whatever we want, to trample on God's laws, because that ultimately is the enemy of freedom and will destroy our nation. What we celebrate today, the greatness of America, is our fidelity to God's laws and his will. And so let us pray today as we celebrate Mass that our nation will rediscover what makes it great and what we celebrate on this Independence Day. Every time we fly the stars and stripes, when we think about the men and women who have given their lives for our nation in the past, what were they giving their lives for? What does our flag symbolize? It symbolizes a belief in a Creator who has created us and given us inalienable rights and given us the freedom to love him and to serve him in virtue. That is what we celebrate on this Independence Day.